Here's a longtime NHLer, now with the NHL on NBC, Jeremy Roenick. What's up, JR?
What's up, boys? Great conversation, by the way. Very, very entertaining.
have you ever blown your knee out reading a puck?
Repellent is an understatement. Repellent is an understatement, by the way.
Yeah, we're a cutting-edge radio show.
If you blow your knee out reading down to read a puck, little knows what's going to happen when you're doing something else that's wanted in a relationship. Good luck.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a tough explanation. I mean, you're a golfer, right? Do you do the full bend down read, or do you just get up there and hack?
No, I do the full bend down read. Luckily, my knees are still bendable right now. I'm in good shape, so lucky.
There's nothing worse than a guy.
I wish my putting was in good shape as my knees are, but that's another story in itself.
Well, how annoying is it when a guy overreads his putts and he can't putt? Like, he sucks.
Amateur golfers, I don't care what's on the line. You get one look from behind the hole, and that's it.
You know, it was funny because I was in a tournament the other day where, you know, playing with a bunch of guys, a foursome scramble, and the guy who's about a 24 handicap, he goes, what do you see the read? I said, just hit it here. That's it. Just hit it here. It's like, I'm not going to get behind your ball and trust you're going to hit it right, you know, where the bend goes. Just hit it right here, and we'll move on.
And they never do.
So frustrated.
They miss the mark by 5 feet.
100%. 100% of the time. Oh, I missed that one. I picked my head up. Yeah, you think?
Scotty Cameron, he's like just decked out in perfect gear, but couldn't hit a putt for his life.
Oh, yeah.
If you were Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach of the Canes, what are you saying to your team right now to try to make them believe they can still win this series?
Obviously, it's been a tough couple games for them. But, you know, everybody knows that goaltending and special teams, a lot of the time, will win you a couple games, if not a series. And Mrazek was not very good. I'm pretty shocked that he stayed in there game two. And their special teams has been awful. Boston's been 4-for-7 on the power play. The Carolina was 0-for-3 in game two. And obviously we know what happened in game one with the power plays, with the bad penalties that they took. But you're not going to win hockey games when you're that big a discrepancy in special teams. So I would imagine over the last couple of days they worked and stressed very hard on making sure those things got better. But, you know, they're in a tough situation. And what's even tougher is they lost game two without the Bruins' top line really being a factor on the score sheet, which, you know, for me is a big eye-opener.
JR, what do you do with Brad Marchand if you're a Carolina? I know what you would have done maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago. The game has changed now. If you're Carolina, is he a topic before the game, or do you just... I've always been of the mindset guys like that go looking for something to get a reaction. Is Carolina going to leave him alone, or are they going to get some licks on him when they can?
Well, every time he touches the puck, it should be a 20, a 19-man or 18-man job to make sure he feels a little bit of pain, whether it's a slash, a hit... you know, he needs to feel the brunt of having the puck in his hand. So, I mean, that's got to be a team thing. Everybody that knows when Brad Marchand is on the ice, when he touches the puck, it has to be a physical confrontation. Now, to retaliate or to try to do something crazy, they need to win hockey games first. They can't worry about Brad Marchand and if they do, they're going to lose the series in four anyway. I would like to see what will happen or be interested to see what's happening if they are in a elimination situation and the score is out of reach. Is there someone that's going to take liberties on a Brad Marchand because of the embarrassment that he put their captain through in game two, which everybody saw, which I don't think anybody really appreciated.
What are your thoughts on Marchand overall, JR? I mean, I know you're a kind of an outspoken guy when you played, and I'm sure being in the media you have an appreciation for guys that aren't dull and do something a little bit different, but just the antics and all of it put together, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm a Marchand fan to a certain level, and I think a lot of people might have the same kind of opinion. He has turned himself into such a dominant hockey player, and obviously plays on a great line. But what's frustrating is these little things that creep in that he needed to have in his game that allowed him to be successful, at least allowed him to be to have an effect on a game that he doesn't need anymore. And that's the high sticking, that's the licking, that's the, you know, the dirty antics, the slew foots, now the, you know, the nag with the captain, all the little stuff. Listen, and I'm sure he's needed to have, you know, that smaller guy's mentality that needed him to get more courageous, to, you know, to show that he belonged, to prove that he belonged. But now he's in this situation where he scored 100 points. He has become a star in the league. And unfortunately, because of some of these things that he does, a lot of people are going to remember him as a cheap shot, as, you know, as that little ball of hate that nobody liked to play against or nobody liked. You know, he's an interesting character. I personally like him. Do I like when he does stupid things like this? No. And I'll call him out for it. But he is a damn good hockey player. But again, your legacy is going to be looked at by how you act, by how you, you know, behave, and the things that you do. And unfortunately, some of those things overshadow his great play.
With Jeremy Roenick, San Jose up 1-0 in that series, and they've been putting up big numbers throughout the playoffs, and they did it again over the weekend. Joe Thornton, the longest standing San Jose Shark, probably the face of the team, but when you think of that team, there are so many different guys that can pop into your mind. You know, Joe Pavelski coming back from the injury and the way he's played. Brent Burns is, you know, he's 30 minutes a night. He's playing. Yeah. You know, is there one guy in particular for you, JR, that when you think of the Sharks, that's the guy you think of?
Well, Joe Thornton is I've never played with a guy that has been so loved, so revered, so looked up to, so wanted to be around ever. In any team I ever played for than Joe Thornton. Everybody in that city, everybody in the organization, and everybody in that locker room literally loves and worships the guy and wants to go out to dinner with him, wants to hang out with him, wants to be with him because he is such a charismatic, fun, he loves the game, he brings the happiness out in you. He'll be tough when he needs to be, but he's always in a good mood. He loves the game so much, and you see it on him every single day. And there's no question that this team is playing for Joe Thornton because it's an odds-on chance, better than average chance, so probably almost a definite chance that he doesn't play another year. And, you know, Joe Thornton being maybe now one of the best players that played that hasn't won a cup, I mean, nobody wants that emblem on Joe Thornton. And Jamie and Owie, I don't know if you guys have spent any time with him, but he truly, truly is, I think, what is driving this team and why I feel there's something even more, even bigger than what's going on with their team and their city. But it's kind of the aura around Joe Thornton. I really believe that there's bigger powers. Because if you see what's happening, first round, they're down 3-1. And Hurdle, you know, they may win a big game 5. Hurdle calls out that, you know, that they're coming back. He scores a shorthanded goal in game 6. Which is it's one of the rarest things that you'll see in playoff overtimes, in two overtimes. Then they come back from that 3 goals off a play, a call that shouldn't even been the call, the penalty, but it did. And Joe Pavelski goes out, and they rally back and win in overtime in that game. So I don't know. There just seems to be something that's happening around the Sharks right now.
Yeah, there's a destiny vibe.
Yeah,
to what they're up to right now.
There's no question. And look what Logan Couture is doing. I mean, they're so deep in their four lines of guys that can play defense, guys that are energy guys, guys that can score goals. You know, Logan Couture has stepped it up. Hurdle has stepped it up another notch. Like what the Timo Meier goals over the last couple games has been unbelievable. So they are a tough bunch. Now, if Martin Jones can continue to play the way he has played since game 5 of the first round, I don't see many teams beating them in a 7-game series.
Well, agree. We'll see what goes down tonight. Enjoy it. We always appreciate you finding some time for us, JR. We'll do it again down the road.
You guys are great. Anytime. Enjoy the game, guys. Owie,
see you,
Matt,
bud.
Miss you guys. See
there
you guys.
He is, Jeremy Roenick from the NHL on NBC.